It was 2:35 when she heard the key in the lock and Nurse Agneta looked in on her. "Hello, are you okay?"
"Is Dr. Jonasson on duty?"
"Aren't you feeling well?"
"I feel fine, but I need to have a few words with him, if possible."
"I just saw him a little while ago. What's it about?"
"I just have to talk to him."
Nurse Agneta frowned. Lisbeth Salander had seldom rung for a nurse if she did not have a severe headache or some other equally serious problem. She never pestered them for anything and had never before asked to speak to a specific doctor. But Nurse Agneta had noticed that Dr. Jonasson had spent time with a patient who was under arrest and otherwise seemed withdrawn from the world. It was possible that he had established some sort of rapport.
"I'll find out if he has time,"
Nurse Agneta said gently, and closed the door. And then locked it. It was 2:36, and then the clock clicked over to 2:37. Salander got up from the edge of the bed and went to the window. She kept an eye on the clock. 2:39. 2:40. At 2:44 she heard steps in the corridor, and the rattle of the Securitas guard's key ring. Jonasson gave her an inquisitive glance and stopped in his tracks when he saw her desperate look. "Has something happened?"
"Something is happening right now. Do you have a mobile on you?"
"A what?"
"A mobile. I have to make a call."
Jonasson looked over his shoulder at the door.
"Anders, I need a mobile. Now!"
When he heard the desperation in her voice, he dug into his pants pocket and handed her his Motorola. Salander grabbed it from him. She could not call Blomqvist because he had not given her the number of his Ericsson T10. It had never come up, and he had never supposed that she would be able to call him from her isolation. She hesitated a tenth of a second and punched in Berger's number. It rang three times before Berger answered. Berger was in her BMW, half a mile from home in Salzschabaden, when her mobile rang.
"Berger? Salander, no time to explain. Do you have the number of Mikhail's second mobile, the one that's not tapped?"
"Yes."
Salander had already surprised her once today.
"Call him. Now. Teleborian is meeting Jonas at the ring in Central Station at 3.
"What?
Just hurry. Teleborian, Jonas, the ring in Central Station 3. He has 15 minutes.
Salander flipped the phone shut so that Berger would not be tempted to waste precious seconds with unnecessary questions. Berger pulled over to the curb. She reached for the address book in her bag and found the number Blomqvist had given her the night they met at Samir's cauldron. Blomqvist heard his mobile beeping. He got up from the kitchen table, went to Salander's office and picked up the phone from the desk.
"Yes?"
"Erika."
"Hi."
"Teleborian is meeting Jonas at the ring in Central Station at 3. You only have a few minutes."
"What? What? What?"
"Teleborian,
I heard you. How'd you know about that?
Stop arguing and make it snappy."
Mikhail glanced at the clock. 2:47.
"Thanks. Bye."
He grabbed his laptop case and took the stairs instead of waiting for the elevator. As he ran, he called Cortez on his T10.
"Cortez?"
"Where are you now?"
"At the Academy bookshop."
"Teleborian is meeting Jonas at the ring in Central Station at 3. I'm on my way, but you're closer."
"Oh, boy, I'm on my way."
Blomqvist jogged down to Gurtgarten and sped up towards Slussen. When he reached Slussplan, he was badly out of breath. Maybe Figueroa had a point. He was not going to make it. He looked around for a taxi. Salander handed the mobile back to Dr. Jonasson.
"Thanks,"
she said.
"Teleborian?"
Jonasson could not help overhearing the name. She met his gaze.
"Teleborian is a real, real bastard. You have no idea."
"No, but I could see that something happened just now that got you more agitated than I've seen you in all the time you've been in my care. I hope you know what you're doing." Salander gave Jonasson a lopsided smile.
"You should have the answer to that question very soon," she said.
Cortez left the Academy bookshop running like a madman. He crossed Sveavägen on the viaduct at Mr. Samuelsgatan and went straight down to Klara Norra, where he turned up the Klaraberg viaduct and across Vasagatan. He flew across Klarabergsgatan and between a bus and two cars, one of whose drivers punched his windshield in fury, and through the doors of Central Station as the station clock ticked over to 3 sharp. He took the escalator 3 steps at a time down to the main ticket hall and jogged past the pocket bookshop before slowing down so as not to attract attention. He scanned every face of every person standing or walking near the ring. He did not see Teleborian, or the man Mom had photographed outside Café Copacabana, whom they believed to be Jonas. He looked back at the clock. 3:01. He was gasping as if he had just run a marathon. He took a chance and hurried across the hall and out through the doors onto Vasagarden. He stopped and looked around, checking one face after another as far as his eyes could see. No Teleborion. No Jonas. He turned back into the station. 3:03. The ring area was almost deserted. Then he looked up and got a split second's glimpse of Teleborion's dishevelled profile and goatee as he came out of Pressbyrån on the other side of the ticket hall. A second later, the man from Marm's photograph materialized at Teleborion's side. Jonas. They crossed the concourse and went out onto Vasagarden by the north door. Cortes exhaled in relief. He wiped the sweat from his brow with the back of his hand and set off in pursuit of the two men. Blomqvist's taxi got to Central Station at 3:07. He walked rapidly into the ticket hall, but he could see neither Teleborion nor anyone looking like he might be Jonas. Nor Cortes, for that matter. He was about to call Cortes when the T-10 rang in his hand.
"I've got them. They're sitting in the Tre Remarie pub on Vasagarden, by the stairs down to the Acala line."
"Thanks, Henry. Where are you?"
"I'm at the bar, having my afternoon beer. I earned it."
"Very good. They know what I look like, so I'll stay out of it. I don't suppose you have any chance of hearing what they're saying."
"Not a hope. I can only see Jonas's back, and that fucking psychiatrist mumbles when he speaks, so I can't even see his lips move."
"I get it.
But we may have a problem."
"What's that?"
"Jonas has put his wallet and mobile on the table, and he put his car keys on top of the wallet."
"Okay, I'll handle it."
Figueroa's mobile played the theme from Once Upon a Time in the West. She put down her book about God in antiquity. It did not seem as though she would ever be able to finish it.
"Hi, it's Mikar. What are you up to?"
"I'm sitting at home sorting through my collection of photographs of old lovers. I was ignominiously ditched earlier today."
"Do you have a car nearby?"
"The last time I checked, it was in the parking space outside."
"Good. Do you feel like an afternoon on the town?"
"Not particularly. What's going on?"
"A psychiatrist named Teleborion is having a beer with an undercover agent, codename Jonas, down on Vasagarden. And since I'm cooperating with your Stasi-style bureaucracy, I thought you might be amused to tag along."
Figueroa was on her feet and reaching for her car keys.
"This is not your little joke, is it?"
"Hardly. And Jonas has his car keys on the table in front of him."
"I'm on my way."